Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have someone very special for you to meet, and I think she'll be very helpful for you as well. Her name is Marianne Grignon. I forgot to ask you, is it Grignon?
Yeah, it actually is properly pronounced that way, so that's fine.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. And Marianne, how are you?
I am very well, Renee. I am so honored to be here.
Oh gosh, well thank you. And we're honored to have you. I know we met on a phone call for the NFB a couple weeks ago, and I was very impressed with everything you had to say. So I thought, man, we've got to get her on the podcast and the show maybe. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a 60-something woman who is I live in Pennsylvania, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a small city that I really, really love. I'm now moved from Florida and now about 15 minutes from my daughter, which is really my younger daughter, which is really awesome. I can, pop over for coffee and that makes me real happy. I am totally blind. I have a new guide. Well, we're together about 5 months or so. And I received him from Freedom Guide Dogs in, I guess my trainer left November 1st. So it was a love relationship right from the start. And I am I have been a lot of things. So, probably my first job was at 23 when I was a secretary for the New Jersey State Commission for the Blind. And then I took time off to raise my daughters. Took about 8 years off to till they were, well ensconced in school. And then I found a job with an attorney and I worked for her for 10 years as a legal assistant. And I really did enjoy that job. I felt like I made a huge difference in people's lives. I don't know if any of you know, but attorneys don't like returning calls. So, they were always happy to hear from me because I, would talk to them and allay some of their concerns. And then I did a lot more than that. It started out kind of like that, talking to them, keeping the calendar, and then it worked its way into being a full-blown administrative assistant for the time.
You have a very calming voice, so I can imagine because, those people call in to the attorney's office. They just had an accident or something, and they hear your voice. I can imagine they just like relaxed right then and there when they heard your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, most are great. They're glad to hear from me and they're happy somebody returned their call. And I've very, very seldom are they angry with me. On occasion, somebody's just really done with waiting for the attorney to call or get their work done and they don't care how nice you are to them. So but that's occasionally. And then I moved to Florida and was there for 12 years and I went into the vending program. And I
Tell
was a
us a little
good.
bit about that vending program because I think a lot of people might not know about it.
Oh, sure. So it's the Randolph Shepherd program. And in Florida, it's a very vigorous, a very stout, good, well-run program. So you go to training for about 6 months. And they teach you business etiquette. They teach you, to run a business. They teach you about vending machines. They actually have a cafeteria in Florida anyway, where they train you to do cafeteria work, snack bar work. And then you're done with the training. That's 4 months, that first part. And then they put you in an OJT situation. And then you take all your certification exams and whatnot. And so I first began vending, working for my now ex-husband. And I did that for 4 years. And then I received my own facility. It's a postal distribution center, and I had 11 or 12 vending machines at any given time. And there's snack machines and drink machines. And I did a lot of the, loading and whatnot myself. I sorted my vending storeroom so that it would make sense to me. And I learned a lot of little tricks along the way about the feel of different bottles and the shape of different packages and, you know, how to keep them so that I knew which way they went up and, you know, things like that. I really learned along the way. And I was a really good vendor. I brought my vending business from a gross receipts of 46,000 to in the year I started to 90 some odd thousand by the time I left.
Wow.
Yeah. So
More
I was
than doubled.
I was a good vendor. I had no complaints. I mean, people would lose money because machines are just that way. They're,
right,
you know,
right.
they're fickle and whatnot. But I never had any complaints. People, I returned their money quickly. And, you know, I appreciated that. They appreciated that I wasn't going to gouge them. And, you know, so I did vending for a while and you know, I had some unfortunate things happen in Florida. Ian hit us directly.
Oh,
And
no.
Yeah. And I had a couple of other unfortunate, sad things happen. And I just decided it was time to come back to Pennsylvania. So here I am in Bethlehem. And
are you from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
I am from this area. Not from. Actually, I am from New Jersey. I grew up in New Jersey and moved to Pennsylvania when I was 30. And, you know, was here for, you know, until I was 49, I guess 19 years, and then moved to Florida for 12 or 13 years. So, so I've been here and there and everywhere. But I grew up a Jersey girl, and
Oh
then
wow.
and then moved
You
to
can
Pennsylvania.
you can do the
Oh,
repercussions
I can do
of
that accent real good.
Well, I've got a Wisconsin accent to deal with, so I don't notice your accent as much as I sometimes notice mine, but
Yeah, it's I don't think it's that strong, although I do have some words like coffee. There are some words that I say that are pretty Jersey like, but I know people whose accents are much stronger, so I'm okay with that. You know, and so now I'm back to helping out the attorney. I don't really want to say that I'm working for her because kind of the pay is, you know, tiny little bit of scrap. But she was in a real bad way when I came back, the same attorney I worked for back in 2000. And people were, again, you know, not happy. But, you know, I've, you know, kind of put out fires for her. And I'm also doing a lot of volunteer work. That's the thing that I hold on to and that makes me really happy is the volunteer work that I do for ACB, the American Council of the Blind. So I'm working for the media section sort of that organization. So I do some audio editing. I host Zoom calls. And I'm going to learn, my next task is to learn to stream events. My plan is to be as helpful to that department of ACB as I can be. And I really enjoy it. So that's where I get, you know, my enjoyment. I'm a musician. I play 12-string guitar and I sing mostly country music.
Oh.
Yeah. I've recently learned to pull up with my audio editing skills. I've recently learned to, you know, pull two tracks together, whether it's a karaoke track in my voice or guitar and voice with a harmony part. So I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Wow,
And
that is fun.
it is. It's been a lot of fun. And then lastly, I am working for Accessible Pharmacy Services, which is a very emotionally and it's a rewarding position in terms of the fact that I really believe in blind people being self-reliant in any way that they can. So Accessible Pharmacy Services is just another tool to put in the toolbox of those with vision loss. So their gig is to merge prescriptions, prescription management, health management with accessibility. And I think they do it pretty well. And they're always growing and learning. I think the thing that I can say about them is that they truly care to provide to the blindness and vision loss community and beyond an array of services really can enhance their lives if taken advantage of. And I would specifically point to like some of their webinars that they've done. They've had the largest health fair for blind and visually impaired people that we know of, where they've had like 120 vendors and somewhere in the neighborhood of between 2,000 and 3,000 attendees.
Wow.
They're doing the next big thing that they're doing is on June 14th. They're doing a low vision summit, low vision and mental health summit. And they'll have several presenters and they'll have several exhibitors, anything that has to do with low vision and good mental health.
That makes a lot of sense. That's great.
Because particularly people who lose their vision later in life really struggle with good mental health. And as I'm finding, not just people who are new to vision loss, those of us who are changing lives, you know, where my life is drastically changing and, you know, trying to find work at both my age and with the fact that I am totally blind is really difficult. And it can really wreak havoc on your mental health. And I'm finding that out now. It's probably the first time in my life that I've ever had a difficult time finding really gainful employment. So, but you know,
knew that you would actually start your own business related to this, or somehow, you know, is there a way of starting your own business? I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about it. I'm hoping to put what I really enjoy, which is the audio editing, and that into play. I'm you know, always looking for people who need audio editors to edit podcasts or, you know, things like that. So I'm always thinking, you know, I wake up every day thinking. I'm also through Accessible Pharmacy Services. I'm a certified through the CDC. I was I am a certified diabetes lifestyle coach. So
interesting. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so we're in our second cohort. They call them second group of people who take the sign on to take this course or this cohort for a year. And at first we meet once a week for 16 weeks. And then after that, it's every other week. And then it's once a month toward the end of the sessions. And in general, first of all of the sessions are conducted via Zoom. And so they're all virtual. So really, a person could be from anywhere. We know for certain that Medicare and Medicare Advantage pay for the course. Or the program, and then other insurance companies as well, but those have to be determined at the time of sign up of enrollment. But for sure, we know that Medicare and Medicare Advantage pay for those the program. And essentially, we talk about anything and everything having to do with eating and living healthier, so being more active. The goal of the program is for each person to lose between 5% and 7% of their body weight and to be active at 150 minutes per week. So it's about 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So that's the goal. No, it's you know, kind of it's doable. They try to make it doable. So that's the goal. And then we, you know, we encourage one another. It's run a lot like a support group. We have a session topic for each week. Or thereafter, you know, each other week. And, you know, it's really a sharing of ideas and struggles and challenges and solutions. And that's essentially what my job is to, you know, keep the conversation moving, to be encouraging, and, you know, to promote good health in all the ways that we can. So that's that program.
What is the key, if you had to whittle it down, what is the key to maybe getting your diabetes under control so that you don't have to take the insulin?
I think the key is to lower your carb intake, because, you know, bad carbs, especially, you know, white breads, white potatoes, white pasta, you know, things like that, starchy vegetables, to limit them, as not to remove them, because I am a firm believer that removing any one thing from your diet is a recipe for failure. So, but limiting them and eating good, healthy proteins, fruits and vegetables, lots of fiber. I'm a proponent of fiber and protein are healthy. You know, and again, healthy proteins. We're not going to eat bacon every day, but you know, chicken and fish and even lean steak. And I, again, I'm probably a little bit rogue about what I say to people, because I think in order for something, a lifestyle change to be successful, you have to be realistic about how people live. And so I
Most
try
definitely.
to do that. And then, you know, being more active, that's not, it's not generally going to help you lose weight per se, but it'll help your heart health. You know, it keeps your heart healthy, it keeps your muscles healthy. So I think those are the two things. So what this program is to prevent type 2 diabetes, currently that's what we're working with. However, the company Accessible Pharmacy Services is trying to develop a program that will be shorter in length, but that will be for people who already are diabetic, and use the same coaches to run those sessions. So then we'll get more into, if you already are diabetic, what are some things you can do to lower your insulin level, or you know, keep your body healthy in the face of all the things that could go wrong when you're already diabetic.
Sure. My father was diabetic, and he became extremely strict with himself, and he ate everything that he wanted, and he just, smaller portions, and
Portions are very important.
and he lost 100 pounds in a year, and he didn't have to take his insulin or his high blood pressure medication anymore.
That's
And
awesome.
yeah, and this was in the 60s. He didn't do any crazy, wacky diet. We all see these diets coming around, and I always appreciate that. I don't think I could have been as determined or as disciplined as he was. But it's like we were talking a little bit earlier. You have to keep some of the fun foods in, because then it's like you're it's like a psychological part of you sort of diminishes.
Shuts down. Yeah,
Yeah.
you get
And you can eat
depressed,
chocolate.
and yeah, so you can't be too hard on yourself. And I always say that to the people that I'm coaching. You can't be too hard on yourself. We had one woman whose birthday was a couple weeks ago, and she said, "Is it going to really kill my diet if I enjoy myself for my birthday?" I said, "You go and enjoy yourself, because that should not be your concern on your
Okay.
birthday. On your birthday, it should be to enjoy the people around you and just have, you know, just have your day." So I'm just, like I said, probably a little bit rogue from what the book says, but I think that my approach is going to keep people in the program, because I think if you go by the book per se, I think you'll have dropouts. So I try to keep it real and keep them healthy at the same time. I try to find that balance.
And speaking of healthy, you sent us a recipe, which is now the Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day today. It's
All right.
the healthier, what is it? The healthier nut,
Banana nut chocolate chip
banana
muffins.
chocolate chip. Yep. You had me a chocolate chip, but tell us a little bit about your recipe.
So I found it online. It was just a whole wheat oatmeal banana muffins. That's how it started. And then, of course, because I'm Italian, and we never cook with recipes, I kind of developed my own recipe because it was boring and I wanted more. And so I added the chocolate chips and the nuts, and it's been a favorite of people. I don't bake. Okay, so the fact that I gave you a recipe that requires baking in and of itself is interesting, because I don't generally bake. But so I took this recipe, Do you want me to go through it or just, okay. So, it originally called for 1 cup of oats, rolled oats, 1 cup of whole wheat flour, 1 egg. And that was the first thing. Oh, I can remember that. It's all ones. So then it was, then it was, banana, 1 cup of banana, which equals, 2 good sized mashed bananas. And then, so that, and then a 3/4 cup of sugar, or was it 1/2 cup of sugar? It's not in front of me. And 3/4 cup of milk and 2 teaspoons of baking powder. And they say 1/4 cup of oil and 1/4 cup of oil. So now I started with that, and they were great. They really came out well. And then I thought, you know, I bet some chocolate chips would be really good in here. So I added just a handful of chocolate chips and a handful of walnuts. And I had sometimes feel like I have to increase the milk. So beware if it's really very dry when you're mixing it, then, you know, just increase the milk a little bit. And it's easy to make because you don't need to get a mixer out. You mix it all with a fork. So you start out with your dry ingredients, and then you add your egg, which you beat your egg in a bowl before you add it in. You add your milk, you add your bananas, your chocolate chips, and your nuts. If you're adding nuts, you can certainly do them without nuts. And then mix it really well with a fork until it's all blended. It'll be all lumpy, but it's supposed to be. And then it will make 6 of the large muffins. You get those muffin tins that have 6 big muffin receptacles, or 12 small ones. And you fill the muffin tins about 3/4 of the way. You pop them in an oven that's been, well, back up. You spray your muffin tin with nonstick spray. Or I guess some people use papers. I have a friend who's a really good baker, and she prefers using muffin papers. I don't. I find them hard to manage. So spray your muffin tin, scoop your batter into the muffin holes, fill them about 3/4 the way, and pop it in the oven at 375 or 350. I'd have to look at my recipe, and cook it for about 20 minutes. Put a toothpick in. Probably you should try to, because everybody's oven is different. So at 15 minutes, open the oven, pull the tray out a little bit, and stick a toothpick in, see where they're at. But between 15 and 20 minutes, depending on your own oven. And they're really, really good. And while they do have sugar, and they have a little bit of oil, they really are a much healthier alternative to your traditional, like, store-bought muffins that are made with nothing but white flour.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I don't buy sweet things from the store. I actually make them. And like you, I'm more of a cook. I'm not really a baker.
Mm-hmm.
I've been picking it up a little more. And I find that when I eat the store-bought sweets, they give my stomach a little weird feeling. And I'm like, are those preservatives working on me?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're nowhere near as satisfying either.
No, you know, they seem like a little AI, you know.
Yeah, the AI version of good bake,
right.
Of baked goods.
Real.
Yeah, not quite real. I mean, yeah, there are some. We have Wegmans here in Pennsylvania, and their bakery is actually quite good, but it's still not, it's not homemade. And the whole thing about getting them out of the oven and letting them cool just a little bit, and then having while it's still gooey and warm, there's nothing like that.
Oh, I know those. I can just taste those chocolate chips now. Just
yeah, all gooey and I made them recently for my daughter. I brought them over. I went to her house for breakfast and brought her muffins. And her husband, they just got married in November. Her husband had them, and he actually took the time to text me and tell me how much he liked them and how delicious they were. So they're usually a big hit. So enjoy.
Oh, that's great. And you can always like change things up too. I'm like you. I don't really like recipes, but if you're baking, you kind of have
A
to
little
do.
bit more so.
Yeah, because with cooking, you can be as creative and throw everything in.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
Yeah.
with this, you can put nuts, walnuts, pecans.
Yep. I love to cook. That's my real thing. I make these because I can, and because sometimes I'm hosting a breakfast, and so I'll make them. And the only other thing I bake is even easier than that. So it's made with Poppin' Fresh pizza dough. But I just love to cook. That's what I really enjoy doing, and I do like to be creative. And fortunately, that is one positive attribute of mine that my younger daughter picked up. She is even a better cook than I was and am. So
Oh,
it's
isn't
nice
that
to have passed it
great?
along.
I know my daughter, I tell her that I've been used to cooking for everybody, like my daughter and the kids and whatever, her friends, they would always come over. Now I'm sort of living by myself. And
Yep.
I told her, she just lives like a mile from me, so it's not very far. And when she brings her food, I go, man, your food tastes so much better than mine.
Well, I think it's two things, Renee. I think it's because they cooked it for us and they get to be really good cooks if they, lived in a home where, we like to cook, right? So fortunately we pass that along. It's a nice thing, and it is, I think things taste good because somebody else cooked them.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's psychology. It's a little bit psychological too, because I've always liked to cook for other people, and I think that lends that sort of lends itself to like feeling better, and you're doing something for other people. You're
Yes.
making other people smile. Like
Yeah.
I just love looking at people. Wow, they're smiling and they like
Yeah.
what they're eating. They're not falling over off the chair.
Yeah. Oh,
But,
I'm cooking a big birthday dinner for her. Her birthday is on the 23rd, and we're having it this Saturday with her in-laws and her, of course, her husband and whatnot. And I'm gearing up to cook a big birthday dinner for her. It's the first time I got to ask her, what do you want me to cook for your birthday, in 12 or 13 years. So I feel
wow, that's
really
so
happy
cool.
to be doing that.
Well, you've been going through a lot of changes, and a lot of people have been going through a lot of changes over the last couple of years.
Yes.
And you're totally blind on top of that. Tell us, what kind of advice would you give to someone at this point going through similar things?
I guess the advice I'd give anybody is to be tenacious and persistent, and I think try not to lose faith in yourself and your abilities. That's the first thing. And the second thing I would say to anybody is put as many tools in your toolbox as you can, whether it's computer skills, iPhone skills, your orientation and mobility skills, whatever the case might be, put as many life skills kind of tools in your toolbox so that A, you feel confident about yourself, and B, you can portray confidence to possible employers, just in general, the people around you. So those, I think, would be the pieces of advice I would give.
Well, and if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they
They can reach me at my work address, which is Mary Ann, just MaryAnn, at accessiblepharmacy.com.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you, Marianne, so much for being with us today. We really enjoyed having you.
It's been my
And
pleasure.
oh, thank you. If anyone wants to try Marianne's recipe or all of the other recipes we have had on our Cooking Without Looking show and podcast, you can go to our website at www.cookingwithoutlooking.com. tv.wordpress.com. We have a YouTube channel. You'll be able to see all of our shows, 8 from other countries, including South Africa. And we've reached 73 countries around the world at this point. So again, Marianne, thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Renee.
Of course. You take care and good luck with that birthday party.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.